Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day to all of our dads here this morning. Thank you so much for being here. Let's do this. We'll open with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into some announcements. Brother Dave Fools, would you pray for us? Amen. You may be seated this morning. Again, hope and trust you got a bulletin as you came in today. We'll start once again, just happy Father's Day to all of our dads. We do have a special gift for you today, and maybe you're like, you don't know or you didn't see, but I'm a pretty practical guy, okay? So I'm not much for the kind of the little trinket gifts. I don't need another keychain, and so Brother Paul suggested, hey, how about we give some meat away to these guys? So sure enough, all our dads, on your way out, stop by, grab your pack of brats on the way out, okay? We got coolers at both doors, and they are frozen, so you can still go to lunch and bring them home with you, but make sure you don't forget them in your car, okay? So just as a thank you, all of our dads here today, again, make sure you stop by and grab that gift on your way out, all right? You can't get one on the way in and on the way out, just on the way out. Hey, tonight at 6 p.m., we have a special service. It's our fuel recap service. Our teens are fresh off, well, not very fresh right now, but they're off of camp. I heard some of them slept 17 hours when they got back. But fuel camp, the recap services tonight, we'll have special testimonies. We'll sing camp songs, some special singing as well. We'll hear from our counselors, our campers. We have some getting baptized this evening tonight too, so be here for that in support of those decisions that the teens made. And then after service, we'll be eating some pizza and then playing some volleyball. I want to invite you to join in on that. We'll have a really good time tonight, pizza and volleyball after service. This Wednesday, we got a busy week. Wednesday is the kids ministry Messy Mayhem is this Wednesday. Now we put on these different events primarily to get kids get excited about them, but to invite their friends. This is an evangelistic outreach, every single one of these events that we do. And so Messy Mayhem, the kids will have their message inside, and then they'll go outside. I think they have a shaving cream war plan. There may be some mud involved, a slip and slide. And I've been told about a human ice cream sundae that's taking place, all right? So that's this Wednesday, 6:30, for those 4 years old up through fifth grade. And then Saturday, we're headed to Georgetown, Ohio. Some of you may not know where that is, but Georgetown, Ohio is the home of a brand new church plant, Ambassador Baptist Church, ABC, in Georgetown. And we want to go down and take a group from the church to help them canvass and invite people to this new church plant. They just started back in March, and the Lord has been blessing them. They've seen people saved. They've had a number of visitors come, and so when we came to Circleville, people from other churches came and helped us invite maybe even some of you to church. And so we want to be a blessing to them as well. We support this church plant financially, but we want to go and put our boots on the ground, you know, and pray over that area, and then we'll do some outreach there. Saturday, 8 a.m., we'll meet here at the church, and then transportation's provided, lunch is provided. We'll roll back in around 5 p.m. on Saturday. It's just a couple hours away. All right? Let's have our ushers come on that note as we worship through our giving. Vacation Bible School is only a few weeks away. We're excited for the Emerald Crossing Vacation Bible School. That's July 12th through the 15th. We'll have a tremendous time with that. If you signed up to serve at VBS, there is a worker list out on the Welcome Center. Make sure you grab one of those. It's got some of those details. If you didn't sign up, there's still time. We can get you plugged in, no problem at all. We'd love to. Next Sunday evening, we're going to have another workers meeting just to go through all those details. So don't worry if your name's on there. You're like, well, what am I doing? We'll talk about that next Sunday evening. Let's ask the blessing on the offering. Kyle, would you do that for us? take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 6 today. Matthew, chapter number 6, and we're working our way through the Gospel of Matthew. And I was told it was kind of funny. Some of our folks had went on vacation, and they went to church, and they were at the beach, and so they went to church at the beach, and they'd say, "What do you know?" The preacher said, "Open to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 25, and that's where we're at today, and it was like, you know, it follows you everywhere. You cannot get away from it. So here we are again, Matthew chapter 6, beginning of verse 25, as we come back to this thought, this command in Scripture, don't worry. Don't worry. Beginning in verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought." Means don't worry. "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Let's pray. Father, as we come to you now, still our hearts before you and before your word. If there be things in our life creeping into our minds, causing us anxiety and worry and fear, Lord, help us to forsake those things today and to think rightly. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. You may be seated this morning. Just a praise. Last Sunday, Brother Monty Amos got baptized in the third service. Praise God for that. Lori Redmond joined our church family and membership. Praise the Lord for that. At camp last week, we had three from our group, three, call upon the Lord for salvation. And we have three planning to get baptized tonight at our recap service. So be here for that and support that. If I asked you this morning, what are the top three things that people worry about, what would you say? Maybe we personalize it. If I were to ask you, what do you worry about, what would you say? I think that for the majority of people, everything we worry about can be condensed into four categories. Our finances, that's our stuff. Our bills, our money, or lack thereof, our cars, our house, our bank account, our job, finances. Next, our family, our loved ones, those we care about, our kids, our parents, our fitness. By that I mean our health. Lastly, our future, the unknown of tomorrow. Finances, family, fitness, future. What do you worry about? In the passage of Scripture that we just read, we find one of the key Bible passages in all of the Bible about worry, the subject of worry. And yet, in these 10 verses, Jesus addresses three of the four things that I've just mentioned. He says, don't worry about your life, your physical well-being, that's your fitness. He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or wear. That's your finances, your stuff. And then he says, don't worry about tomorrow, your future. He doesn't just tell us, don't worry. Maybe somebody's done that to you before. Just don't worry about it. Okay, I guess I won't anymore. Sure, poof. I'll just stop. Jesus doesn't just tell us, don't worry. He then gives us three reasons why we should not worry. We're going to study those three things today. I believe that if Jesus were here this morning and he were preaching on the subject of worry, some wonder, what would he say to us? I think he would say, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Because it is here, our Savior gives us the remedy, the antidote to worry. Let me give you some context. Please do not miss this. This is a command. Don't worry. 4 times in 10 verses, Jesus says, take no thought, take no thought, take no thought, take no thought. It means stop fretting. Stop being weighed down with the cares of this world. Don't be troubled. Stop being anxious. Do not worry. Jesus commands us, don't worry. And as I said last week, what God commands and demands, he empowers and enables us to do. If he commands us, don't worry, he's going to give us a way to keep that command. And he does. 3 ways. Remember, anxiety and worry are in the mind. They are problems of the mind. And Jesus, the master teacher, reveals to us the solution to our worry also is in the mind. He will say again and again, behold, consider, think about this. He wants us to think. Worry is wrong thinking. Jesus wants us to think rightly. How can we do that? By thinking about 3 things. The first, and we only got to 1 step last week. I'm glad you came back. If you were here last Sunday, I was like, you got to come back. I'm glad you came back. Here it is. Number 1, first, the fowl. The fowl. Jesus says, don't worry. And the first thing he brings up is the fowl. And if you're taking notes today, write number 1, the fowl. And beside that, put the care of God. The care of God. When we think about the birds, they remind us of how much God cares for us. In verse 26, he says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And here it is, are ye not much better than they? The birds are fed by God. Won't he feed you? God cares for the birds. Surely he cares for you. The temptation to worry, and that's what it is. Let's call it what it is. Satan tempts us to worry. It's a sin. He wants us to worry. But that temptation, no one is exempt from that temptation. I don't care what you have, what you don't have, where you're from, who you are. Everyone can be tempted with worry and anxiety and fear about the cares of this world. Look, my preacher is Pastor Ryan Bevan. Pastor Ryan, that's my pastor, LBC Chillicothe. And I love that man. I would do just about anything for that man. I'd probably fight somebody for him. I'm going to be honest with you. Not that I have, all right? There was a time when we came pretty close. But don't be putting your hands on my preacher, all right? Maybe some of you're like, I'd fight somebody for you, preacher. I'm not asking you to do that. Although one time it came pretty close, all right? We had a sweet saintly lady in our church, a member. Her name is Darlene. And one day Darlene was down at the food pantry and somebody was talking bad about her pastor, Pastor Nathan. I don't know what I did or what I didn't do. I would have apologized, but she was talking bad about me, and Darlene said, almost in her 80s, preacher, I was going to fight her right there. I was like, no, Darlene, no. Look, I know that some of you have shown such care and love for me and for our family. And there are some of you who you think your preacher can do no wrong. Others, you know better, right? For those of you who know better, don't tell the ones who don't know better, all right? Just let them live in ignorance. But I'll tell you this. If you think that preachers don't struggle with worry, you're wrong. If you think that the pastor is somehow exempt from this temptation, you're wrong. I have been tempted more to worry in the past 2 years of my life than the rest of my life combined. And it has nothing to do with that medal that's going up out front, right? No one is exempt from this temptation. Christ begins with this reminder, behold, the fowls of the air. Number two, we move from the fowl to the flowers. The flowers. This is where we left off. Number one, right, the fowl, and then beside that, the care of God. Number two, right, the flowers, and beside that, right, the concern of God. When we think about the flowers, we ought to think about God's concern for us. Look at verse 28 of Matthew chapter 6. It says, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies. Think about the lilies of the field. You're thinking about your problems. He says, no, no, no. Think about, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Why are you worried about clothes? To worry, remember, it's to be pulled apart. That's what worry does. Now, there are legitimate areas of concern in our life. We're not talking about concerns. You can be concerned about your future, concerned about your health, your fitness, concerned about your family, concerned about your finances. You can be concerned about all of those things. There are legitimate concerns in life. I don't know if you've gotten one of these notes, but when you get online, you try to log into something. I feel like I keep getting these notifications. It's like, your password may have been leaked in a data leak. Would you like to change it now? I'm like, no. Just let me order chicken wings, all right? good night, B-dubs. It's hard to get into my bank account. I'm like, why do you need to send me a verification every time? Just give me the chicken. they can have my chicken wings if they want it. And like, look, there are genuine concerns in our life. Here's what worry is. Unhealthy, obsessive concern. Jesus starts with food and then clothing. Why does he mention clothing? Well, in that time, often people would have an undershirt and maybe one or two tunics for their daily wear. And then they would have like a single heavier cloak to go on the outside. In that time, fabric was hand-woven, extremely expensive. So a typical peasant's wardrobe was only a few practical garments with maybe an extra set saved for special occasions. Now let's bring it to today. Of all the things to worry about, especially in our culture, how silly to worry about clothes. I imagine that for most of your life, and even this morning, you were not worrying about if you had something to wear, but what to wear. Now, you may have worried today about what to wear. I don't know what to wear. You know? Which of my 25 shirts should I choose today? Why does Christ mention food and clothing? Because these are the necessities of life. The thought is this, if we shouldn't worry about the basic necessities of life, should we worry about anything else? Look at verse 28 again. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. He wants us to think. You're thinking wrongly. That's why you're worried. I want you to think rightly, carefully consider, think about it, contemplate this truth, consider the lilies of the field. I believe that Jesus may have literally said, okay, hey, look up for a second. Okay, you see them birds up there? Behold the fowl. And when you look at those birds, you remember how much God cares for you. All right, now look down, look down. Consider the lilies. Look at these flowers around here. And when you think of these flowers, you ought to be reminded about how much God is concerned about you. He is giving us the antidote for worry. Consider the lilies of the field. These are not the fancy store-bought flowers that have been painted. Those didn't exist. These are from the field. You understand they're wildflowers. And they teach us a lesson. Have you ever seen a flower worried? Like maybe wilted, but not worried. For some of you, if they could worry, they'd be terrified every time you bring them in your house. Could you kill them all? No. My wife is like, I don't have a green thumb. And so sometimes she brings them in and we kind of have this joke. She's got one plant that's doing really good right now. And I'm really proud of my wife for that. But the other ones, if they could worry, they'd be coming in our house like, no! Dun, 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 dun. What happened to these? Hey, look. The flowers, have you ever seen a flower worried? No, they don't worry. And yet, how ironic, because the flowers don't work. They do no labor. Yet God, in his power, clothes them. He will clothe you. God is concerned about the grass and the flowers. Don't think for a second that he's not concerned about your life. Often we imagine God is just totally set apart and uninterested with the details and specifics of everyday life. I think God cares about the part of your life that no one else does. Well, how do I know that? Because he cares about flowers. I looked it up. There are around 400,000 specific species of flower in the world. 400,000 species of flower. But the total number of flowers cannot be calculated, yet God clothes every single one of them. In verse 29 of Matthew 6, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. What could be more glorious, read in Scripture, than the reign of King Solomon? Economic historians and Bible scholars have tried to estimate just how wealthy this man was. They figure it was somewhere between $2 to $3 trillion by today's currency. The Bible says silver was so common during his rule that it was like stones, just rocks. But Solomon, in all of his glory and with all of his money, could not clothe himself with such beauty as the flowers in the field. If you take the lily and put it beside Solomon in the sum of his magnificence, with his robes of gold and silver and precious stones, and the splendor of the lily is greater than he. The robes of the king pale in comparison to the robes which God has clothed every flower with. Even in our greatest dress, we are still outdone by the lowliest wildflower. If you carry out this thought fully, if you keep thinking about it, here's where the thought leads. Verse number 30. Wherefore? Wherefore? If God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith, how much more will God clothe you? If God shows such concern for something that lives so briefly, here today and gone tomorrow, how much more concern does he have for you? We know a thing or two about the brevity of grass and flowers around here, don't we? You know, this property used to be a lush oasis of grass everywhere, rolling meadow and just green everywhere the eye could see. And now, a Sahara of dirt and rock surrounds us. Praise God, some of our men the other week worked hard at planting some grass seed, and the grass is coming back. Amen, it's coming back. Yet for God to give such beauty to something that may only last a day, will he forget you? The God who clothes them, will he not also clothe you? The God who provides for them, will he not also provide for you? You who have been clothed in the righteousness of his Son, will he not also clothe your body? God is concerned for every single flower that has ever existed. How could he not be concerned with your life? The one who weaves together every flower on earth has personally knit you together in your mother's womb. You are made in his image, filled with his Spirit, and redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He is concerned about you. Can you say amen today? Jesus says, open your eyes. Satan wants us to focus our eyes on our worry, on our troubles, on our problems, on our suffering, on our pain. Jesus says, no, gaze upon the flowers scattered over the hillside, growing among the weeds and the thorns, in the mountains and on the side of the road. The concern of God can be seen in every single one, every stalk, every petal, every blade. Surely he is concerned for you. Did you catch what Jesus says at the end of verse number 30? Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little what? What is it? Faith. You know what that reminds me of? You remember the story when Jesus and his disciples got on a boat, they go out into the sea, and then the storm comes, and the disciples are losing it. And what's Jesus doing? What's he doing? Napping. He's sleeping. In Luke 8, verse number 22, it says, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. He said unto them, let us go over into the other side of the lake. They launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. Then it says this, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. There's water in the boat. Would you say that's a legitimate concern? Yeah. Jesus is wet, and yet he's sleeping. Verse 24. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. He rebukes the storm, and now he rebukes the disciples. Verse 25. And he said unto them, where is your what? Faith. Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. Master, Master, we're perishing. Don't you care? Aren't you concerned? Of course he cares. Of course he's concerned. Where is your faith? What is Jesus teaching? Worry is a sin. to think that God would clothe the flowers and yet leave you naked is a sin. The flowers are a rebuke to our anxiousness. Consider the flowers. Number three, the Father. Father. We see the fowl of the air and we're reminded of the care of God. We look down and behold the flowers that God has made, and they remind us of the concern of God. Number three, write the Father, and beside that, the character of God. Consider God's character. He is your Father. You know, when Jesus got to the end of his life, he's getting ready to die and then be buried and then rise and ascend into heaven. And he says to the disciples, let not your heart be what? Troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. He says, I'm leaving. He's like, I'm leaving, but don't worry about it. How could they not worry? I'm going to prepare a place. And Jesus is like, you'll know the way. Thomas is like, how can we know the way? And what does he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He says, don't be troubled. A few verses later, in John 14, verse number 18, here's what he promises them. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not leave you, and the word is comfortless. In the Greek, that word is orphanos. I will not leave you orphans. Fatherless. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. I will not leave you fatherless. Worry, listen to me, is for the faithless and the fatherless. But child of God, you are not fatherless. We are not orphans anymore. We have a heavenly Father who is concerned and cares about us. And he is a good Father. Talking about the Father. Now, sometimes people wonder, like, hey, preacher, did you, like, plan, you know, because it's Father's Day and like this? No. No. Sometimes God does that, and I'm like, thank you, Lord. But I am not sharp enough to do that. But it is pretty amazing, isn't it? I was so blessed growing up. I have a good dad. In the first service, I said I had. I'm like, he's still here. Like, I praise God, I still got him, you know. But I just had a good dad. Some of you, you grew up and you were blessed because you have or had a good dad. I didn't have to worry about certain things. My dad is really meticulous. If you don't know this about my dad, He takes care of his stuff. He does. And if you go into his garage, he knows where everything is exactly. You go in my garage, I'm like, you give me 30 to 45 minutes, I might be able to find that for you. He takes care. He has concern for what belongs to him. It's funny, I think I may have told some of you this. The other day, I think it was last year, he said, hey, we got a new push mower. Do you want my old push mower? And I'm like, yeah, I'll tell you. I mean, it'd be nice to have an extra one. Sure, I'll take it. So he brings it to me, and I'm like, oh, great, thanks, Dad. And I'm looking at this push mower, and I'm like, why does this thing look so familiar? Like, because I used to cut the grass with this push mower when I was a teenager in high school. It's the same mower. I'm like, how long have you had this thing? And he's like, it's pretty good, you know, shape. It kind of runs a little rough now. And I'm like, it was in better shape than the other mower I bought the previous year. And I was like, well, thanks. Appreciate it, Dad. And he kept this thing. I don't know. It's been 15, 17, almost 20 years that he has had this push mower. How did you keep it? So, you know, he's like, well, here, it's yours now. I'm like, well, how's the mower doing, preacher? It's over at the junkyard over here. He kept it for almost 20 years, and I broke it in one season of mowing. Now, I blame my children for when I let them help me mow, all right? But the fact is, like, I'm like, sorry, Dad. And he's like, it's okay. I'm like, it's gone. I got $4 out of it. It was really like $3.50, but... You know, when I was growing up, there are certain things I just didn't have to worry about. I didn't have to worry about where food was going to come from. Because I had a good dad. I didn't have to worry about whether or not the bills were going to be paid. I just knew my dad would take care of it. Because I trusted his character, that he was concerned for me. You know, sometimes, and I hope you don't do this, you know, we try to shield our kids from certain things. Sometimes parents, we can give our kids too much to hold. Things that they don't need to be worried about, that they don't need to know about. Yeah, they ought to know that things cost money and, you know, that they should be concerned and care for certain things. But sometimes parents give their kids too much to carry. When it's not theirs to carry, it's yours, Mom and Dad. Because they can't bear it on their little shoulders. You understand when you worry? It's almost as if you are usurping God's role as Father in your life. As if He's not going to take care of it. Child of God, why do you doubt that your Father will be concerned for you? We just seem to kind of forget about this, right? That we have a good Father in heaven, and He is concerned about us. Verse number 33, it says this. Jump back to verse 31 just quickly. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, the lost seek. And then don't miss this. For your heavenly, what? Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. You have a heavenly Father. Verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All right, here's the truth. Again, I know you're not here to have your ears tickled this morning. If we were more focused on His kingdom, we would probably worry a lot less about this kingdom. Amen? Perhaps you should ponder this morning, could it be that I am so worried because I am not seeking first His kingdom? I have a friend of mine who's a pastor. I was asking him about this subject of worry. And I said, hey, do you think that preachers treat the sin of worry differently from other sins? And he was like, absolutely they do. He said, you know, if we preach on the subject of abortion or homosexuality, which is sin. I mean, we will hammer it. But then when it comes to worry, we just kind of skim over it. I mean, if someone is a fornicator, we would confront them and say, you need to stop. Rebuke them, repent, you can be forgiven. But for the one who worries, often we feel like, well, I'm not allowed to do that. I just have to kind of, well, of course we want to encourage them, but we don't want to coddle them. Because if it is sin when Jesus commands us not to do something and we do it, then yes, there ought to be encouragement, but that encouragement should be repent, confess, forsake. You have a heavenly Father who cares about you. This sin is serious. You say, well, how serious is it? Any sin that questions the character of God cannot be a light thing. That's exactly what worry does. E.S. Jones said, worry is putting question marks where God has already put periods. Worry doubts and questions the character of your heavenly Father. To the one who is filled with worry today, look, there are legitimate concerns in our life. But if you have an unhealthy, obsessive concern over something, repent, confess, and forsake. There may be some confessing that we need to do this morning. Look, but it's not enough to confess. Forsake your worry. And you might think, well, preacher, you know, I got this going on, and I'm going through this, and I have this. And you don't know, preacher, you don't know what I have going on. And you're right. But look at verse 32 once again. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. You're right. I don't know, but he knows. Child of God, he knows. He knows. After all these things do the Gentiles seek. He's talking about unbelievers. Worry is for people who don't acknowledge God. For people who don't believe in God. For people who don't belong to God or trust in God. This is something for those in spiritual darkness, because worry is for the person who has no resources outside of themselves. They have to fret. They have to be anxious because it all depends on them. How different should believers be? Am I living my life like a lost person, filled with anxiety and worry? Or am I living my life like a child of God who has a good Father in heaven? He knows. I don't know. But he knows. Think about the character of God. Say, preacher, how do I do that? If you want to know the character of God, it's in this book. It's right here. Every page is filled with his character. Now look, some would say, well, preacher, you know, a Bible verse a day won't keep the worry away. Yeah. I'm not just saying, hey, read it and check off the box and all the worry will disappear. No, you're going to have to read it and study it, memorize it, meditate on it. You may even start sharing it with somebody else and fill your life with this book. Because here's what I'll tell you. Maybe there's some more that you need to do, but it's never less. And if you're not doing this, well, you need to come back to it. Because every page reminds us of the character of our heavenly Father. I got such a blessing this past week at camp. I got a bunch of blessings at camp this week. But one of them, on the first day of camp, there was a counselor, a lady from another church, who came up to me and said, hey, I just wanted to share something with you. And she said, you were preaching at our church a while back for revival. And I was like, yeah, of course I remember that. And she said, there was a young lady that I was just in a Bible study with. And she got saved when you were preaching at our church. I was like, oh, praise God, I didn't know that. And then she said this, she got saved when you were preaching about the genealogy of Jesus. And I was like, yes. I told you before, like, I love preaching, you know, the passages where it's like, well, what can we really learn from this? And I'm like, she said she got saved during your message about the genealogy of Jesus. And I thought, praise the Lord. Somebody can get saved learning about the genealogy of Jesus. Why? Because the Word of God is powerful. It's powerful. Do you believe that? Say amen today. This is a powerful book. Now here, listen to me. If it's powerful enough to save your soul, is it powerful enough to encourage your spirit? Surely it is. When I think about who my Father is, when I think about what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus and the cross and how he suffered, I can trust my Father's character because he's a good father. Years ago, I was hunting, and I had Uriah with me. He was in single digits then, so a lot smaller. Now he's like, he's always flexing up against me and stuff, and I have to keep him under my thumb. But he's going to beat me up when I get home. He bench presses more than I do, and a lot more. So he was probably 7 or 8 years old. We're hunting. Sunset is coming. It's coming fast. A deer comes in front of the corn pile. I take a shot, and now we got to track this thing. Now it's dark. I have a flashlight. He doesn't. I know where we're at in the middle of the woods. He don't. And yet, he's at perfect peace. Happy. He won't stop talking. Dad, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, buddy, shh, all right. We're trying to find this deer, you know. Complete calm and peace. Why? Because I'm holding his hand. I'm his father. And he's with his dad. Now, if I let go of his hand and turned off that light, he would have no way of finding his way back home. He would be completely lost. And yet, he's at peace. Why? Because he's holding his dad's hand. You understand that he never lets go of you, Christian? He holds us in his omnipotent right hand. And what shall separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Daily I must contemplate this truth, the fowl of the air, the flowers of the field, and my Father. And when I do that, when I take my mind off of all of the problems and the troubles that I have, and I put my mind upon his care, his concern, and his character, then my heart is stilled as I remember his tender care. Look at verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. How often do we worry about tomorrow? Jesus says, what's the point? You have enough problems right now. Why are you stealing tomorrow's problems? Are they going to be there? Oh, yeah, they're going to be there. Sometimes it feels like, oh, they're waiting on us. Spurgeon said there are two great certainties about things that shall come to pass. The one is that God knows. The other is that we do not. Never be afraid, the preacher said, to trust an unknown future to a known God. You know, there's a story that I read. An author was writing a book, and he was talking about how when he was younger, his family used to have an apple orchard. And every year they would pick those apples when the harvest was ready. And you know how it is if you plant a garden or something. It's like you can become overwhelmed by all that you have. Try to give it away, and but you can't give it away. You got to store. You got to put it up. And so he said what he would do is their family would get together and they would try to store away these apples in the pantry. Inevitably, he would try, as just a little boy, to carry as many of those apples as he could. But before you know it, he'd drop one. And another, until pretty soon he didn't have hardly any at all. His mama's just watching him, and she's cracking up laughing. Every time he'd do this, he would come and pick up the apples. He'd remind him, son, you can't carry it all at once. She would set all those apples down. He would take his little hand. He would wrap his tiny fingers around it. He'd say, why don't you start with that one? Carry it, and then do the same thing. The author of that book said, my mama was trying to teach me something. One apple at a time. Don't try to put your arms around everything. You can't handle it. You can't hold it. You were never meant to. Jesus, our Savior, says, hey, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's troubles will be there. You have enough problems to worry about right now. Just take one apple at a time. So many times we try to carry it all. We try to wrap our arms around the entire year or the entire month or even a week. One apple at a time. Some of you here this morning are trying to carry too much. Instead, why don't we put one in our hand and say to ourselves, here's a day, Lord, help me to live for you today. And then help me to do the same thing tomorrow. How foolish is it to borrow trouble from tomorrow? The Bible talks about how God's mercies are new every what? Every morning. Every single day. You know what we try to do? Sometimes we try to rob God's mercy for tomorrow and use it for today. But rest assured, God will have enough mercy tomorrow for your problems tomorrow. But for today, he's given you enough mercy right now. So he says, just one at a time. Just one. You can't hold more than that. You're not meant to. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just take one. You think that you can handle more. No wonder you're so anxious. No wonder you're so fearful. One apple at a time, Vicky. One at a time, Matt. God takes our little hand, wraps it around that apple. Child, trust me, just one at a time. And the God who has cared for you every moment of your life until now will not forsake you tomorrow. Would you stand with me this morning? With heads bowed, eyes closed today. As our praise team begins to come, let me ask you, if you have put your faith in Jesus and you know God as your heavenly Father, you raise your hand as a testimony to that today. Amen. All across this room, you can put them down. What about you, friend? Is there anyone here who would say, Pastor Nathan, I don't know if I'm saved. Or maybe I know that I'm not saved, but I want to be. That's you this morning. You raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not saved. I invite you to come receive salvation through a God who loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. He'll He'll save you today. Christian, nobody looking around, just between me, you, and the Lord. Who here would acknowledge this morning or ask, Pastor, pray for me because I've been worried. That's me. Amen. All across this room. I'm going to pray, but I can't carry your burden. I'm not meant to. But you can come, lay it at the feet of the Savior, whose feet were pierced for you. Father, as we come to you now, Lord, we need you. Oh, you are so faithful to us. Every day you have cared for us. Remind those this morning, especially those who acknowledge that they have some worry, they have some fear and anxiety. God, that you care for them, you're concerned for them, and that your character is good. Let us lay your burden, our burdens, at your feet today. Help us to do that in strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some have already come today. If the Lord's spoken to you, if you have any need at all, you come this morning as we sing, Great is thy faithfulness.